call them in their alphabetical order. So we start with America. America, Korea, and Europe generally. Okay. So can we have, as I call your group, the representatives, you have just 10 minutes. 10 minutes to give us your report, and then at the end of all the reports, we'll have time to really pray.
Okay, America. Okay, we're praying for America. We talk about it. Can I just talk about America first, right? Okay, the things that we are facing is lukewarmness, or I would rather say laziness. And lack of culture of prayer, not knowing who you are, especially the ecclesia, and then breakdown of families, children and youth, sexual brokenness and pornography addiction, also bad stewardship, violence. So let's just pray that, you know, that the church will go back to the first love. Now, I was just thinking about, okay, yeah, we know it's first love, but I think we should have the only love, right, of Jesus. Then family altar restored, praying for pastors, and also found out it's like about 94% were not sharing the gospel at all. So let's just pray that every believer will intentionally share Jesus, like the Go Movement. Yeah, so that's for America. We hear from Ukraine.
Okay, let's do it this way. We have in Ukraine, what I'm saying is from the part where I come from, because I remember last year, we went for in Donbass, where the war is right now, to help them out with their needs. And I found out that it's a different culture. Where I come from, you know, clapping hands in the church is a sin. Dancing is a sin. Oh, for real, when I married my wife, the mother cursed us the whole night. She was crying, and just because that, you know, we danced to the altar. So, but thank God that before she died, she repented of, you know, on it, and really, it was that bad. So, but when I went to Donbass, it's a different thing. You know, I see them praising God, you know, they don't clap, but at least you see them moving, you know, and I say, God, hallelujah. So it's not, what I said about, you know, clapping hands, or they are too religious, you know, from where I come from, the Pentecost side. I'm not talking about Orthodox, I'm talking about the Pentecost side. They are very religious, and the prayer is that the Lord will really touch their lives, that they will come to, you know God for who God is. I preached once in a church talking about praise and worship, and I mentioned music, you know, with some of it. They persecuted me because of that. In fact, as a matter of fact, the pastor blasted me, you know, but later, after 1 year, he came and apologized. So it's the prayer is religiousness in the church, that God will break it down. And we talk about also love. We use 1 John 3:16, where the Bible says that we lay our life down for one another. I believe that captures both America and the Ukraine. So somebody asked me, what do I think about the war? Now, what do you think? You know, because even in the church, they are divided. That is true. So there's this, the love we're talking about is not there. So, but God gave me, let me conclude with this. The Lord gave me a good example when the Russians came to our village. So it was a Russian soldier, a sergeant, that provided for us small camping gas that we could be able to, me and my children, to drink a hot tea. We had inside the house minus 10 for 1 month. So if not for that, I don't know, maybe that some of us will have pneumonia or whatever. But God really did that from somebody you call an enemy. So if we don't really love one another, no way. What we are doing is just, Jesus Christ says it. Before you come to God with anything, that you should what? Forgive one another. And I believe that's key. Zana?
Yeah, I'd like to invite Jason, Dean, and Tom. And also, it was supposed to be South Korea now, so young two better come. Okay, just everybody stand and let's just pray for North America, Ukraine, and South Korea, this region.
Lord, we want to confess before you today our prayerlessness, especially standing the gap on behalf of pastors and leaders in America. Lord, please, please forgive us, Lord, for not being dependent on you. I ask for a spirit of prayer, Lord, to rest upon pastors, that we would give ourselves to continual prayer and the ministry of the word. That every church would be a prayer-devoted church, a house of prayer for all nations. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yeah, Father, we lift up families in America. God, as they are needing to find their identity together in you, would you come in power? Would you establish a culture of families praying together? Of families finding their identity in you together, of families being on mission to share your love together amongst themselves and amongst their community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, would you ignite the Church of America? Would you pour out your spirit to renew, to refocus, to reprioritize the things that have captured our attention, shifted our affections, taken our eyes off you? Would you disrupt all that needs to be disrupted? Shake everything that needs to be shaken until all that remains is a foundation, the foundation of Christ upon which your purpose can stand with eternal glory. God, we surrender our models. We surrender our success. We surrender all the things that have made us think we're doing the things, rather than the business of loving you and loving one another and seeing your glory come. So God, would you stir and fan the flames of love within the Church of America?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to cry unto you for the things that we need. Lord, that we need is you, your presence, and your work, and your miracle, Lord. Father God, at this time, I just want to pray and lift up North Korea. Lord, it's still a persecuted nation, most oppressed nation. They need your light and truth, Lord. Father God, open the gate of heaven and pour out your anointing. Lord, Father God, there are so many people suffering. There are 25 million people still under the oppression of religious regime. that is worshiping the idolatry. Would you have a breakthrough in the nation? Would you raise people to be sent to the nation so that 25 million North Koreans would hear the gospel, Lord, Father God? There are 300,000 refugees or defectors in China alone in hiding. Would you have mercy on them? Would you expose them to the gospel that they would truly find liberty and freedom? There are 35,000 North Korean defectors settling in South Korea. May they rise as the catalyst to bring gospel to the most oppressed nation, Father God. Lord, Father God, I pray for South Korea. Lord, you bless the nation. May they never turn away from their blessings. They would utilize and surrender their resources to bless and then carry out the world missional movements along with all the other nations, Lord. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your anointing. We give all the glory and praises and honor to you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll now take reports from East Africa. East Africa. And at the end of your presentation, we'll pray together. I think this is a good pattern.
Okay. 10 minutes. Let me ask Winnie Ocheng to join us, as well as Bishop Motua and Pastor Michael. Okay, after, okay, in the time of prayer. Yes, from East Africa, we identified four problems to talk about, and one, economic hardship. The second was terrorism and insecurity. The fourth, climate change, the third, climate change, and the fourth, loss of skilled manpower. In addressing all these problems, we gain strength from Isaiah 58, verse 12, which says, "Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in." So God has actually called the church to address the problems in our regions. Under economic hardship, we looked at economic empowerment. There's a proverb that says, if you give a man a fish, you feed them for a meal. But once you teach them how to fish, then you feed them for a lifetime. So they need to emphasize and teach vocational skills and economic empowerment. The formation of table banking, teaching believers to save and invest money together. And we see a case study in Uganda. It's a cooperative called YSave, which started as a scheme of saving among believers and grew to start investing together, grew into a circle, a cooperative. We also looked at using, mentoring the youthful population, untapped renewable energies and water used for using innovation and sustainable technologies in green energy, things like cooking and agriculture, emphasizing value addition in agricultural produce. Under terrorism, we see that we have a number of conflicts in DRC. There are terrorist threats in the region. In the past, we've seen attacks from Al-Shabaab. But we identified strategic prayer and intercession as an initiative to address the issue of terrorism. As, of course, that backed by spiritual mapping. And the case in point is the way the LRA war was dealt with in Uganda. For close to 15 years, the rebels had evaded the government until God spoke to one of the army generals that for this war to end, it has to be addressed spiritually. So church leaders in prayer with the help of the government were able to go to the places where the rebel leader had raised altars and made covenants with the elders in the among the Acholi people group. And those altars were fueling the war. But when the church prayed in those locations and destroyed the altars, Connie crossed, had crossed from Uganda into Sudan. By then, South Sudan had not broken off. He never returned. So spiritual warfare, spiritual strategic level spiritual warfare, and spiritual mapping, intercession. As well, we see missions awareness for professionals to recognize that wherever they work is a mission field, their job, their vocation. It's not only when they're in church on Sunday. And also, we looked at conflict resolution and mediation in lobbying the government to engage in conflict resolution and mediation. A third area in terrorism and insecurity is, which the Lord reminded me before coming up here, is praying into the issue of aligning with Israel. In 2006, the Prime Minister of Israel met with East African presidents. Present was Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi, and DRC and South Sudan. And one of the things the Prime Minister of Israel offered in standing with East Africa is in dealing with terrorists. So that is a strategic partnership we need to pray into, because Israel's observer status at the AU was contended against by some nations. But as the church, we need to pray that Africa will fully align with Israel. Number three, climate change. We identified the lack of intentionality in addressing the immediate causes of climate change. And we saw Kenya as an example, because they've championed the planting of trees. Bishop Mutua told me he himself is responsible for, he has worked towards planting over a million trees, more than 3 million trees. So this is an intervention pushing, encouraging the church to teach on the biblical aspect of caring for nature as God's creation. The church taking the lead in caring for the environment and nature, using renewable energy and cultural change. For instance, encouraging people to use energy-saving methods of cooking and agriculture. Digging boreholes in different locations. The fourth problem, loss of skilled manpower. We saw a need because lots of people leave our region to seek jobs. An example, we lose so many young people seeking employment in the Middle East, and these ones usually do domestic work. So, and there have been many horror stories from the experiences. So one is teaching the value of practical skills, helping our people change their mindset towards opportunity is in Africa. Educating the church for those who go abroad to be on mission, because there is a place for those who are stationed abroad as expatriates. We also recognize that so many African students study in Europe, America, and the Western world in general. So we need to empower these from our numbers that go to study abroad to go as missionaries. And then appealing the government to create environments that retain the workforce. And the Bahamas is an example that has a deliberate policy to maintain and retain their people so much that it's hard to find Bahamian expatriates anywhere else in the world. Projecting. Then we also need to project and envision our people on Africa's season of restoration. Ghana announced a year of return, encouraging people of African descent who want to return to Africa to consider Ghana their home. And so many African Americans, Africans in the diaspora, have been making an exodus of sorts right from about 2017 onwards. Some have received citizenship of African nations. So that gives the African, restores the identity of Africa. And we believe that will help our people choose to stay and work home. Thank you. So I'll invite our sister Winnie, Pastor Michael, and Bishop Mutua to do the prayer response.
Let's pray. I want to read a passage. First Samuel 2, verse 35. Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. The last passage before I pray. Acts 26, verse 18. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. When I think of East Africa, I just want us to stand and believe the Lord together. Growing up in my nation, Kenya was a very beautiful land. Our national anthem, if you look at our flag, it is red for the blood that was shed as our forefathers fought for the independence of our nation. Then we have white. White signifies the peace that we proclaim and have trusted God for years of our land. And we knew peace for so many years. Peace is no longer in our borders. And that's, I think, something we share common across the East African nations. So I want us to stand together. As you look at the passage I've just read, pray and plead with God to raise up a faithful priesthood able to navigate not just Kenya, but the East African nations out of the storms and all these things we are hearing as a result of election malpractices, poor governance, and all the disasters we have had, droughts, famine, diseases, pandemics. Let's pray. So Lord, we just lift our hearts before you. Thank you that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in their midst. You are here, Lord. We come not because of our righteousness, but because of your own. Father, we raise a cry, a war cry before your throne of mercy. Father, you've given us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Lord Jesus, you say, come boldly before your throne of grace so that we'll receive grace and find mercy to help us in our time of need. Father, this is the season we are coming together as your children. But Lord, you raise a faithful priesthood out of us standing here tonight, this evening, Lord Jesus, that we hallow your name over every nation in East Africa. Father, we call forth your kingdom, Lord Jesus, your rule, your reign, your authority to be made manifest. You alone are King of East Africa. Lord, we are crying out to you for the thousands of children that do not have school. Oh God, families that are disintegrated, election malpractices. Oh Jesus, only you are the faithful Redeemer. Redeem our nations. Redeem our land. You are able, oh God. We thank you for your blood that was shed thousands of years on Calvary. Many still don't know you in our backyard. You've opened our borders so that nations will inhabit our nations. Oh Lord, how we pray that there will be a faithful remnant that will cause many to rise up, to know you, to love you, to serve you, and to be a light to the nations. King of glory, arise over East Africa, and may all your enemies be scattered, oh God. You say if the sun be lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. Lord Jesus, draw the men of East Africa from the east, west, north, and south, oh God, to come to your saving knowledge of grace, of love, and of power. Lord, some trust in chariots. We have trusted in our abilities. We have trusted in our tribes. We have trusted in our qualifications and certificates and our connections. But Lord, we will trust in the name of the Lord. We return to say, we lift up our eyes to the hills of our East Africa. Where does our help come from? Father, our help does not come from anywhere else other than from you, the God, the maker of heaven and earth. Come through, Redeemer of all nations, and redeem us back to yourself, O God. Cause us to be a light, O God, to the nations. We have so many prophetic words that you've spoken of our nations. May you fulfill them in our generations. May you fulfill them in our hearing, O God, for the sake of your name, for the sake of your fame, for the sake of your glory. Lamb of God, have your way over East Africa. Only you are able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ever ask, think, or even imagine, to the glory of God the Father. We exalt you and you say, you're King over Kenya, King over Uganda, King over Tanzania, King over Rwanda, King over Burundi, King over Lord Jesus, South Sudan, King over Sudan. Father, reign. Reign in spirit, reign in truth. Do that which only you are able to do. We love you. Thank you that your prayer hearing God, your prayer answering God, and you have heard at this day. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. We declare that there shall be salvation in Comoros. That island that is 99% Muslims, there shall be a witness to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We claim reunion. We claim Madagascar. We claim Mauritius. We claim Seychelles. We claim Somalia. We claim Djibouti. We claim Eritrea. We claim Ethiopia. We claim South Sudan. We claim Kenya for Jesus. We claim Tanzania. We claim Burundi and Rwanda.
We claim DRC and Uganda in the name of the Lord. Now in the name of Jesus, East Africa, arise and shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now we declare salvation to the countries of Eastern Africa. Now we declare deliverance, for the hour of deliverance has come. Now we declare covering of the blood of Jesus, and we scatter all the enemies. Al-Shabaab, you have no power in East Africa. We declare no terrorism. We declare no militias. No, we declare no inside chisms. We release peace. Peace upon Eastern Africa. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray for the climatical change, that the Lord God, there shall be rain, latter rain and former rain at the same time. We see all over East Africa the carcasses of the animals, but we know God is turning it around to his own praise and glory. Therefore, East Africa, you shall not die, but you shall live and show the glory of God. We declare it, we believe it, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Very quickly, I just want us to bring repentance before the Lord in regard to the bloodshed that have been done all across Eastern African countries, particularly those who enrich themselves through all this warfare going on in East Africa. We have the case in DRC Congo that Mamudu, who is one of the generals, soldiers, we have what happened. He was trying to push brought peace to Goma, but eventually DRC Congo generals pay a ransom of $20,000 over his head that he might be killed. And Mamadou was killed. You can see it on BBC, on YouTube. Because there are some people who thrive in enriching themselves through this war all across the continent of Africa, particularly in East Africa. I'd like us to cry to God that the Lord will dethrone them. The Lord will take over from them that which strengthens them. That the Lord will himself fight the fight for the continent of Africa, beginning from East Africa. That the Lord himself will bring peace across the continent of Africa from East Africa. Let's lift our voice just a minute and round up on that 1 minute. For those who enrich themselves through all this bloodshed in Somalia, in Ethiopia, in South Sudan, in DRC Congo, in Uganda, and all across the continent of Africa, that those who would pay ransom, that those who want to bring peace will be a target. They go after people who will fight for peace because they steal the natural resources. The warfare in DRC Congo would have ended years ago if not for those who enrich themselves through this war. In Jesus' name, we have prayer. And so, Lord, we lift up our voice to you, O God. We cry, O Lord, that you will arise in the name of Jesus, because you are the God of war, and that you will break the stronghold of those who enrich themselves through the bloodshed of the innocent. Those who enrich themselves through, O Lord, wickedness and evil, displacing millions of people, children dying. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, let that yoke be broken in East Africa and all across the continent of Africa. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray. Blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we remember the prophetic word in the book of Psalms chapter 2 that ask for nations and it shall be given to you as inheritance and the ends of the earth as your possession. Lord, we ask right now and give into your hands the nations of East Africa. We ask, Lord, Rwanda. We ask Burundi. We ask DRC Congo. We ask Southern Sudan. We ask Uganda. We ask Kenya. We ask Tanzania, Ethiopia, Djibouti. We ask Somalia. Lord, may they be brought before you as an offering to worship in your presence, O God. Even as your word says, and nations shall come before you and to worship you. Every tongue and every language. Lord, we declare and decree that they are brought in your presence right now. In Jesus' blessed and mighty name, we do pray and believe. Amen and amen.
Nigeria is supposed to come next, but please, Nigeria will come last. May I call North Africa to please come forward? Please, there will be no filming for now. No filming. Thank you.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for choosing Just for Challenges. That's made our job easier because you have plenty of them, but four is good for now. First, I want to start to say we hear all our brothers' struggles from each region here in Africa. And our heart is with all of you guys and with all of the churches around Africa. And we are writing this down to put us in our prayers that we do daily for Africa and all the world. So I would like to start with telling a little bit of background about North Africa. North Africa actually has been Christian since the beginning. But because Muslims came from the Middle East going to Europe, they installed themselves in our countries. And this is how the life begins. But looking at the histories, we have a lot of martyrs that have been serving in North Africa through the years. What happened, we lost our identity as Christians, and then all became Muslims since then. The issue that we have for now is a lack of discipleship and leadership for the locals. Everyone who came to be serving in our countries, they don't leave a leader behind. They don't disciple people to make sure that they continue doing their roles. So all these people that come to Christ, they soon go because there is no fellowship with them. People, they don't come across them. They just leave them like that, and then all is gone. And this is one of the main issues that we have now. Thankfully for some of the other brothers that they're still here helping and supporting and also continuing to teach leaders to make other leaders and planting churches. The second thing that we have is even our local leaders, after a little bit of time, they decide to leave the country and go to serve in another country rather than staying there. And this has made a big issue for us. Now, most of the workers, they look for comfort, and they look for a better opportunity, better leisure, so they decide to go to Europe and serve in America and Canada and leave the needs that we really have in our regions. This is one of the second biggest issues. The third one is that most of North Africans are receiving or suffering with a different type of persecutions. Mostly is from the governments. We are unable to make conferences. We're always underground in homes. When we meet secretly. When we talk about Christ, we don't raise our voice. We just talk quietly, go into corners, coffee shops, and that's how our life is daily. We don't have the freedom to be in a building, in a church, where you can be heard, where you can be seen in TV, or anything like this. The governments now are making a lot of persecutions to people who are starting to do evangelism. So if you have been found by a book in your hand or given a book to somebody or somebody reporting you to the police that you have given them a book or you told them about Christ, there is a very bad consequences waiting for the people. So this has made a lot of fears in the heart of our people who are serving in the region. I would like you to pray specifically for that, because people are losing the fire to serve and they're losing this passion to serve because of the fear of governments. But as Jesus says, give what's God to God and what to Caesar. So we will respect our government, but it will be into an edge that we will not forget who we are. And we are Christian, and that's how we rule and how we serve. The fourth one is a very specific point that hopefully this will get you get our message as it is. We have an issue with untrained missionaries that come to the region. It's a very, very, very big issue that they do. They came in, they go to the church, and they take people from the church out to their cells. And this is making a big issue in our unity in our church. Untrained missionaries, normally what they should do, they should get training before they came to North Africa. Due to a lot of issues, they broke up the church from the middle of it. People come to the church, take believers out because they will offer a different training or a better training or an opportunity to go abroad or anything like that. And this is actually is making the church divide into pieces around the cities. I remember in 2010, when I first believed in God, I used to go to the church, which was around 100 people, and then somebody came in from abroad with a PlayStation. And at the day, we didn't have PlayStation, so I stopped coming to my church, going to his home church because he had PlayStation. And this is actually took me out from my own church. We are struggling with these issues now, with other different type of technologies and other different type of teaching that is taking people from the main church, the Tunisian church, out to a missionary church. And this is my fourth point. I would like to invite Brother Henny, Busad, and Ashraf, which are from the same region as us, and pray with us toward these points. Thank you.
So, Jesus, we love you, God. We declare you are the Lord of North Africa, God. God, we pray, God, that Ali was speaking, God, that the disunity of the believers, God, that we pray against that. We pray, God, for unity among the church. Just we pray that you raise up leaders, God, that they have the heart of Jesus and they know how to come together as a body of Christ, God. God, we pray, God, against all the hidden agendas, God, that people are bringing to North Africa. God, we pray and we love you. We trust you that you are the Lord of North Africa. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We'd like you to also hear our Arabic language praying. So my brother Busad will pray.
يا رب نشكرك من أجل عروستك يا رب الشمال
إفريقيا
نشكرك يا رب لأن عينك يا رب مفتوحة على عروستك المفدية بدم
الحمام
نشكرك يا رب لأنك هتبطل كل مشورة شريرة يا رب على عروستك
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will bring down every Lord conspiracy against Your bride. And Lord, your counsel, your thoughts, your will be successful. Your bride that you redeem with your blood.
جايين يا رب مع إخواتنا يا رب نتحد مع بعض ونرفع عروستك في شمال إفريقيا. نرفعها قدام عرش النعمة. نقول لك يا رب حرر كنيستك يا رب من كل يا رب مشورات شريرة. يا رب لتكن كنيستك يا رب حرة من أي محبة مال أو أي يا رب تراب أرضي التصق بها يا رب. اسم الرب يسوع المسيح اجعلها يا رب كنيسة صحيحة. استخدم كنيستك وشعبك في شمال إفريقيا.
Use your church, Lord, and your people in North Africa.
في اسم الرب يسوع المسيح. نصلي كمان يا رب أنك تفتح أبواب يا رب لمرسلين.
Lord, we pray that you open doors for missionaries.
بننادي عليهم يا رب.
Lord, we call upon you and on them.
مرسلين يا رب مختارين وممسوحين.
Missionaries that are picked by you and known by you.
يا رب كشعب من شمال إفريقيا وككنيسة في شمال إفريقيا.
Lord, as North Africans and as representatives of the Church in North Africa.
بنقول يا رب إحنا محتاجين يا رب لإخوتنا في كل العالم.
We say and declare we need our family from around the world.
محتاجين يا رب الشعب ممسوح وخدام ممسوحين يا رب. ليخدموا يا رب كنيستك في شمال إفريقيا. باسم المسيح.
Amen. I would like to finish by praying for our friend from Morocco who couldn't join us. I'd love to lift him and I sense the Lord discerning that very difficult situation of one of us supposed to be with us into something great for the kingdom of God. If you believe that with us, can you stand with us, please? I feel our brother represents the oppression of so many people, represent the oppression that is over the church. I have watched and witnessed what God is doing in North Africa for 30 years, and it is amazing. It is amazing. It is amazing, but the church is still underground, and I cannot believe that. I think it's time for the church to arise and shine and come from underground. It's time for the millions of people to see the beauty of the church. Let's pray for our brother as he represents hundreds and thousands of believers all over North Africa. That no more underground, no more hiddenness, no more fear in Jesus' name. Father, we come in the name of Jesus together, Lord, and we are not interceding. Lord, we are decreeing with you. We're coming with our authority, Lord Jesus, as a body of Christ. Lord, we thank you for the warrior spirit here in Nigeria. We thank you for the fire of God that is here. We thank you for the boldness that is here. And we pray, Lord, the same boldness to come in Jesus' name. Father, we are not going to be shut silent. We are not going to be prevented from participating, Lord, in gatherings like this. We bless our brother, Father, in Jesus' name. We bless him, Father, in Morocco. And we pray in Jesus' name, Lord, for him, for his church, and for the church, Lord, all over North Africa. Lord, we name Mauritania in Jesus' name. Morocco in Jesus' name. Algeria in Jesus' name. Tunisia in Jesus' name. Libya in Jesus' name. And Egypt in Jesus' name. Arise! Arise and shine! Arise and shine! For your time has come, and the glory of God is risen upon you. We pray this together in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you. Amen. Thank you very much.
we've prayed for our brethren from North Africa, but I still feel a burden to pray for them. Please, if you keep any picture of our brothers from North Africa, delete it, please. Delete it. If you keep any picture of our brothers from North Africa, delete it. I'd like us to pray for them again. One of the issues raised was that of the weakening of the faith of the brethren as a result of persecution. I'd like us to pray the prayer that Jesus prayed for Peter and the disciples, that their faith wouldn't fail. Please, I'd like us to rise once again. I pray that their faith will not fail in the midst of persecution. Rather, that they will be strengthened in the name of the Lord Jesus. Please, let's pray for them. Let's pray for our brethren in North Africa, the North African church, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that their faith will not fail. Their faith will not fail in the midst of persecution, but rather that the Lord will strengthen them. The Lord will strengthen them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we stand in the place of intercession and we pray as you prayed for them. Lord, today that their faith will not fail, but rather they will be strengthened, O God. Lord, that they will strengthen one another in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, may their faith not fail, Lord. Lord, may their faith not fail. Lord, may persecution rather result in strength, O God. We pray for encouragement in the name of the Lord Jesus, that they will mutually reinforce one another. Lord Jesus, we call on your name today, that you will seek out your disciples, seek out your people, O God. Those who have been discovered, we ask, O Lord, Lord, may you reach them in their place of discouragement. May they find comfort and may they find strength in their inner man. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you will strengthen your church and make them formidable even in the nations where they are found. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you. You may have your seat. As I now invite our brethren from Southern Africa.
Good afternoon, everyone. Our delegation represents Namibia, Botswana, Lesotho, Mozambique, Mauritius, Zambia, and South Africa. The top four challenges we identified, the first is poor leadership and governance, especially in the political arena. It's an enormous challenge with corruption. Many of our leaders across these nations have a freedom fighter mentality in government. They're focusing on their own rights and vindication versus having a developmental focus in building up these nations. We also have a leadership challenge in the church, so poor governance leading to governments shutting down many of our churches. And tied into this is poor governance as well, so poor execution of systems and structures. Secondly, we focused on ancestral worship and idolatry as a massive challenge. Also syncretism, so the mixing of Christian and traditional beliefs. This is one of the fastest religions across Africa right now, is that dangerous mixing of Christian beliefs with ancestral beliefs and traditional practices. Thirdly, we focused on sexual ideological issues, so issues of immorality encroaching on our nations in the South, increased pressure for legislation to be introduced around LGBTQ, liberal sexual education in our schools, and even the legalization of prostitution in South Africa and other nations right now. So this is a key challenge for us. And fourthly, we identified security, crime, violence, and drugs as a serious challenge. It's also impacting the next generation in a very serious way right now, just drugs ravaging our schools and really having an impact on the next generation. So those are the four challenges that we identified. In terms of solutions, the first thing we prayed for was prayer for revival of the church. Because if a church is revived and the ecclesia arises, many of these other issues will be addressed. So we spoke about the church needing to pray, to speak, and to support on various levels, becoming effective in those areas. Secondly, church-based leadership training. So we had examples of a school of governance in South Africa, the Africa Leadership Institute in Namibia, the participation of church in governance, and education, training, and equipping across all sectors as our second focus for solutions. Thirdly, the church's involvement in legislation and advocacy, governmental policies, including issues pertaining to ancestral worship, for example. So the church being a voice, being in those spaces and contending for where these dangerous legislations are being proposed. Raising up groups of Christian lawyers was another solution that we looked at. So raising up believers, specifically in the legal space, to speak into these areas with their expertise. And then addressing the inheritance of neo-colonialist laws was also mentioned. And then fourthly, focusing on the next generation, we really feel strongly that raising up a generation that will contend for a better future is critical to our nations. So we spoke about meeting their physical needs, prioritizing things like nutrition, setting budgets aside specifically to empower and equip and take care of our youth, but then also to look at things like spiritual boot camps, training, prayer equipping, really mobilizing our young people in missions and to be effective in strategic intercession. And again, allowing and allocating resources for the development of our youth, providing platforms for them. An example of this is the Tribe Youth Movement in South Africa that focuses on raising up a young generation that stands for ethics, values, and clean living in the school space, which is growing very rapidly right now. So that's, in a nutshell, what we discussed. So perhaps if our delegation could come forward, there are too many to mention, and so maybe they could all come up and they'll pray into some of these issues. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to invite Daniel to pray for us first into the next generation, and then from there perhaps we can just pray short prayers as we're led, since we're quite a large delegation.
Thank you. I just, before praying, want to present in a very short few minutes what in practical we are doing to respond the challenge we have in Africa. Personally, I run a kids ministry in sport. What we do is to train the father figures. Why training the father figures? It's because the world, especially Africa, the crying of our kids is the lack of father. It's not a crying because of food, crying because of anything else, but it's the crying of the lack of the father. So what we do, we raise father figures and we release them into the communities. They work with kids. They speak in the life of kids that needs the father. They raise them, they coach them using football, addressing the word of God, and praying with them, supporting them along their life. And this is basically what a part of what we do to respond into some of the challenges that we have in Africa. And all of us here, we have other different practical ways of responding into the cry of the challenge we have in Africa. I am praying. And I am praying in Shangana, one of our mother languages in Mozambique. Shikwembu shaina bitwelera Yesu wa Nazareta. Yakongela ibitora matima. Ehleni ka inkwasu leswisi yamukelaka ndawini le. Madzafiula wa Shikwembu hematwaka mayelana tiko ra hina ra Southern Africa. Itaka wena ikongela leswaku Shikwembu shaina unga ipfuna. Shikwembu shaina unga hlamula. Shikwembu shaina unga nghenelela andzeni ka madzafiwi hinkwawo. Hi taka wena hi khongela hikuva ha swi tiva leswaku hi wena u nga Xikwembu, hi wena loyi u hi hlamulaka, hi wena lowu nga ka hi lwela, hi wena lowu nga ka hi pfuna. Hinkwaswo leswo hi khongela hi ku pfumela evitweni ra hosi ya hina Yesu Kreste, ya ku gandzela ku tlakuxa emasiku hinkwawo hi vito ra Yesu wa Nazareta. Amen.
Father, our Father, 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 we come before you as your children from the south. We repent for having turned from the first teaching, the first love that you showed us. We repent for following the voices of the other gods and submitting to the foul spirits. Because in the beginning, when you were introduced to us, we were taught and introduced to you as our Father, a loving Father who cares for his children. But we have turned. That's why we ask you to forgive us, restore us, O God, and rekindle that fire that we had in the beginning in us, the fire that will be able to be seen from far and from near, restoring us into your fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shall we pray? Can we stand, please? Join us. Father, we thank you for the region of Southern Africa, the SADC community. We thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, concerning the leadership of the nations, O God. Father, the historical fact is that most of these leaders have come from the freedom fighting movement. And there's a lot of the mentality of the freedom fighters that have persisted in their governors. And as a result of that, God, development has been stalled in many countries. Transition to younger generation has been a problem. We ask in Jesus' name that you step into this particular area of the challenges of the nations of SADC in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, Jehovah, that you would deliver the nations of God from the strong grip of the ideological principles that were behind the freedom movement. And that was communism. We pray, Jehovah, that these nations be liberated and a new generation of leaders come up in the name of Jesus. We pray for the issues of governance, legislative issues, O God, that covers not just politics, but social issues like the welfare of the children, this violence against women, Father, the exploitation of the people. We ask that you step in, O God, and deliver our people. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, God, and I bless you. Because once we lift up these nations before you, you will not leave them the same. So I trust you, God, that there is a major work that you are starting. And that this conference has given us the impetus to believe much more than we have ever believed. That SADC shall be delivered. SADC shall be set free. SADC shall not be the same again. SADC shall glorify God in every area. In the mighty name of Jesus. Receive all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Father God, I just come before you this afternoon as an African with European roots. And I want to confess before you, Lord, as the church in South Africa, for sharing in agreeing to abortion laws, agreeing to a liberal, immoral policies under pressure and manipulation. We confess before you, Lord, these immoral, sexual immoral standards that we have raised and opening doors where we have agreed upon them as the church leaders. Father, I pray that you will forgive us and that you will heal our hearts, that you will grant us compassion for those who are struggling, and that we will help others to come out of darkness into your light, that we will help those who struggle and who is hurting and who really struggle to be set free. We speak deliverance over them in the name of Jesus, and we ask that you will bless the nation of Southern Africa in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow down in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I stand, Father, and I ask for forgiveness on behalf of the Southern African countries, Father, for bowing into idol worship, Lord. We have served other gods. We have sinned against you, Lord. And this evening, Father, we cry unto you and we say, please forgive us, Lord. We stand and cancel each and every covenant that was made for our countries by our ancestors, by our forefathers. We stand, Father, and we ask that may you wash us with the blood of Jesus Christ. Wash these countries. Wash our children. Wash our grandchildren. Wash those that are coming after us, oh Father, that will take the reins of Christianity into another level. Let them represent us, Father. Let them represent every nation in the Southern Africa and in Africa as a whole. We thank you for your grace and we thank you for your mercy. We know that you have said in your word, O God, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your spirit, O God. Therefore, we stand united. You have said as well, O God, that when two or more are gathered in my name, there I am amidst of them. Therefore, we thank you for your presence this evening, O God. As we pray in unity, you hear our prayers and you answer our prayers. We bless your name, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'll pray in Portuguese. Pai, te damos graças por estarmos aqui neste lugar. Obrigado, meu Pai, por estarmos aqui neste altar. Queremos te adorar, te exaltar, pois não há Deus tão grande como tu. Queremos pedir perdão, Senhor, dos nossos pecados, das nossas transgressões. Pai, estamos aqui abençoando a África, meu Pai, na área do Sul. Obrigado, Senhor Deus, pela África do Sul. Obrigado, meu Pai, pela Zâmbia. Obrigado, meu Pai, por Malawi. Obrigado, Senhor Deus, nós te glorificamos por Lesotho, Namíbia. Mesmo Swaziland, que não está aqui, abençoamos, o Deus, em nome de Jesus Cristo. Pai, muito obrigado. Perdoa-nos, o Deus, porque estamos acompanhando o que está acontecendo no sul de África. Mesmo para a inauguração de uma estrada, são chamados curandeiros, são chamados feiticeiros para poder inaugurar, meu Pai. É uma chamada dos demônios para entrar na África, oh Deus, na área do sul. E nós oramos, oh Deus, em nome de Jesus, a partir deste altar, declaramos que não há Deus tão grande como Tu. Tu és o Deus, meu Pai, das nossas nações. Nós colocamos diante de Ti. Retire, oh Deus, toda a idolatria.
retiram, Deus, a tudo que não te agrada nas nossas nações, mas que Jesus possa reinar, Jesus possa ministrar a tua bênção para as nossas nações. Mude, meu Pai, o comportamento governamental. Mude, ó Deus, os que estão na iminência, para que possam olhar para ti, o autor e consumador da nossa fé. Pai, oramos para que o teu Espírito possa ministrar nas nossas nações, possa mudar tudo, ó Deus, em nome de Jesus Cristo. Muito obrigado. Imploramos a tua presença para mudar. Levante a tua igreja com voz profética. Levante a tua igreja com a voz da palavra. Pai, obrigado. Te damos graças. Colocamos tudo nas tuas mãos. Pois todas as coisas queremos te pedir. E também queremos te agradecer em nome do Senhor Jesus Cristo. In Jesus' name we pray. Amém.
Southern Africa, thank you. May I now invite the West African region.
Thank you for the opportunity. West Africa, our challenges are very encompassing. Almost every challenge that was enumerated in the program booklet, you'll find it in West Africa. But we have been able to group it into five to share with you. First of all, West Africa is very dynamic, in the sense that we have 5 English countries and 11 French countries, making it 16 countries. Our first challenge is instability, terrorism, crime, violence, including radical Islam. Islam particularly is seriously tearing on the face of West Africa. Number 2, we have economic hardship. A lot of unemployment. Okay? And that is affecting the mass of our young people who are just churning out of our universities. Is a serious challenge for our region. Number 3, neocolonialism. We have China, USA, Russia, French, and the Arab world. It is very saddening that our governments go to these countries to get support for our budgets. Without the support of these countries, most often they are not able to fund the budget of our countries and also our elections. Most of our infrastructure development are being done by China, and so the mass resources, the mineral resources in West Africa, our governments are using it as a barter trade. And that is serious. And also the Arab world. 15 years ago, the cities and the towns and the villages that you barely count 5-10 mosques. Today, if you go around our cities and our towns in West Africa, you'll be counting from 50 to 100 mosques. Why? Because there are banks, Arab banks, that give loans without interest to Muslims. And particularly in my country, when you come to the northern Ghana, you can get money to build your house, just the agreement to sign that
you put a mosque beside your house. And that is going on. And also, the sponsorship to young Muslim guys to intentionally, deliberately to go after Christian ladies and they are marrying them across board. This is serious. Number four, youth migration, because our young people are not employed. So you will have seen the crossing from the Sahara Desert trying to go to Europe. Lastly, poor and evil leadership, which cut across both the political landscape and also the church. The politicians have been successful to use wealth, money, to divide the church front. So when you go to every country, you get church leaders who back one particular political party and others backing the other political party. So the church in West Africa has lost its prophetic voice. We try to come up with some solutions. First, empowerment, education, equipping small-scale businesses starting from the church because of poverty. When you don't have money, at times it can be very terrible. Number two is evangelism of children and youths, as well as really raising the quality of good teaching for this young generation. Three, enabling Christian professionals to see themselves as agents to advance God's kingdom. The West African Christian professionals, they are in their numbers, they are in the marketplace, but the church have left them alone. All right? So they don't see themselves as missionaries, as kingdom agents in all the spheres of life. If God will help us to begin to transform their thinking into biblical mindset to see themselves as kingdom agents, that will change a whole lot of things. Then four, maintaining a deliberate mentorship for our emerging leaders. We have Christian leaders or Christians in our parliaments, in our governments, but they lose it. They get there and it's like they lose it. It means that before they get there, the church have not been intentional, deliberate to mentor these people that you are going to get here, and when you get here, the thing is that you are going to stand for the kingdom. And then lastly, we will have to keep an intercessory cover over our nations. That has to be an ongoing and serious project. So this is what we came up with. So I will welcome my team to come here, and then Pastor Chinedu will pray on behalf of the English countries and our sister from one of our sister will also do that on the behalf of the French countries. But before this brethren bring up the prayer, I would like to read to us Isaiah chapter 62 from verse number 1 from the basic English translation. It reads, because of Zion, because of the church, I will not keep quiet. I'm inserting West Africa, ECOWAS, in the place of Jerusalem. And because of ECOWAS, I will take no rest
until her righteousness go out like the shining of the sun, and her salvation like the burning light. And the nations, the other nations, will see your righteousness echo us. And all kings, your glory. And you will have a new name. We have been called a corrupt region. We are corrupt West Africa. But we will have a new name. I said we will have a new name. And this new name will be given by the mouth of the Lord. He said, and you will be a